What are blockchains? Bitcoin uses them. How will they transform various industries, such as financial services and title companies? That's the topic today on Mind Matters.
Welcome to Mind Matters, where artificial and natural intelligence meet head-on. Here's your host, Robert J. Marks.
Greetings. Trust is something which is a part of everything we do. I think that the big classic story is of the used car salesman, where you go in, you don't know whether to trust the guy or not. So therefore, you establish a greater degree of trust by going to Carfax and things of that sort. We also have trust in our banking transactions. When we put our money in the bank, we're trusting that that bank is going to keep our money and give it back to us when we want it. My daughter is in the real estate business, and one of the big businesses there is title insurance, wherein one goes back and looks at the history of real estate and hopefully establishes some sort of trust in the chain of ownership and liens and things of that sort. But, you know, you can't always be 100% certain, so that's the reason that you have title insurance. One of the new technologies that is going to address trust is the blockchain. Blockchain, for example, is one of the things that makes Bitcoin work. And today, to talk about it, is our guest, Will Fullerton. He's a student of economics at TCU with an interest in Asian studies and Chinese, and he will soon be traveling to China to build blockchain businesses. Will, why China?
Well, I think that's a really interesting question. And first off, thanks for having me on. The reason to think about China is really to think how China is investing in technology such as artificial intelligence, machine learning, and even technologies like blockchain on a massive scale.
Didn't they announce like a multi-billion-dollar program in AI or something of that sort?
Absolutely. And that is just one reason to think about China and the future of these technologies, because as the Chinese R&D really takes off, we're going to start to see the number of patents and the number of Chinese-owned technologies having a rise.
I see. What are some of the businesses that are going to be affected and disrupted by blockchains? I think I mentioned banks and title companies, but this is going to be relatively widespread, isn't it?
Absolutely. Blockchain is not just a disruptive technology, it's a foundational technology. What does that mean? It means that blockchain, being a shared and immutable ledger of value, is going to allow us to create an internet of value, allowing us to create, transact, receive, and send all sorts of different digital assets. Anything from music to money could be disrupted.
My goodness. Can you explain, simply as you possibly can, what a blockchain is?
Absolutely. So a blockchain is a decentralized or shared ledger of information. So we already have ledgers in our centralized world, but the thing is that a lot of these ledgers are not shared. So there can be discrepancies between the two, and it can be very cost inefficient moving assets across networks.
Well, let me try to boil it down a little bit to more of a specific. We talked about title companies. Imagine a blockchain of transactions and real estate sort of history. You said it's decentralized. So one of the things is that this decentralization would be a software agglomeration that is actually shared by numerous different title companies, and they have to trust in each other for a specific reason. They have to trust that the blockchain that they have is right and is accurate. Now, how can that be assured?
Absolutely. So the thing about blockchain that creates this assurance is that when a new node is created or a new block is created, it has to be verified by the participants in the network.
And these participants can be numerous, because numerous people have copies of this blockchain sitting on their computer, or they have access to it. Is that right?
That's exactly right. And so I think it's important to note that these blockchains don't just live on one central unit or one central computer. They live across the network. So the way that they are insured and trusted is that every single piece of a transaction is connected to the preceding piece of the transaction.
Hence the idea of a chain, right?
Exactly. Hence the idea of the chain. And the block just being whatever the transaction is with a block of data, whether that's a timestamp or that's a, you know, party A, party B, asset was transferred at this time to this person. It's just a series of information that's chained together to make a blockchain.
So how do I know somebody can't come in and violate my trust and alter this blockchain?
That's a really good question. And this is one of the big reasons that blockchains are such a foundational technology, is because they live on so many different devices. You would need massive amounts of computing power to change the information not only on your device, but on more than 51% of the devices in the network. For obvious reasons, that might be cost inefficient, because the amount of electricity and cryptography that you would have to use to hack into the network.
Well, that's the other thing, too. These links in the chain do not necessarily have to be transparent. They can actually be encrypted. So you could be a part of a chain wherein your contribution is encrypted and everything else is encrypted, and the blockchain is still safe, even though everything is encrypted. Is that right?
Absolutely. This is important because encryption is already a part of a lot of the transactions that we participate in, whether it's the online e-commerce transactions or when we go online and have encrypted keys or whatever it may be. But what the blockchain does is it uses encryption on every single step of the way. So it's just using encryption in a more massive scale, securing your information.
Interesting. So if you were a prophet, what are some of the things that you would think that blockchain would affect? How do you think it's going to affect, for example, banking and our banking abilities? Where right now we have to trust the bank.
Right. The way that I think that blockchain is going to change the world is you really have to think about how the world has been interacting for centuries. We've been talking about the trust protocol and how we need to establish trust between two parties. Traditionally, we have relied on financial institutions, whether that be Bank of America, JP Morgan Chase, Visa, to just name a few. We have essentially entrusted them to be the arbiters of our money or information. You know, saying person A has X amount of dollars and person B, you know, does not or whatever. And so they come in and they make the transaction possible. But what they are doing is they're taking a large piece of profit off of each transaction. And they're also delaying the transaction from happening in a much quicker and efficient manner. So blockchains actually take the middleman out of it and allow us to transact with each other and create value and receive value across a range of different platforms.
What is the status of the implementation of blockchain? I would imagine there's some startups which are happening that use blockchains and are trying to get some sort of traction in the market. Are you aware of any of these?
Absolutely. So there's a lot of action happening in the blockchain space right now. For the past couple years, it has gone from a buzz to a research and development, and to now a more implementation stage. We're starting to see ICOs, or initial coin offerings, of blockchain startups where they're receiving money by raising investment through cryptocurrencies. So things like Ethereum and all sorts of different platforms are starting to implement blockchain technologies. But I would say the biggest of all of them is what IBM is doing with the blockchain.
What are they doing?
the IBM blockchain, I think they're working on more than 100 projects right now.
Oh my goodness.
They're implementing blockchains across supply chains, healthcare data. They're implementing blockchains all across business networks where there's any digital asset in question.
Now, it turns out the blockchains themselves can be linked to other blockchains to make a bigger blockchain. Is that right?
Absolutely. That is true. So these different blockchains can, they're learning how to make them communicate with each other, because with a decentralized system, they're able to share information in a similar way that a relational database would.
As these blockchains get larger and larger, for example, with Bitcoin, as new transactions are added and added and added, the overall ledger for all of the history of the of blockchains, all of these links which are linked together, is going to become larger and larger and larger, and eventually not going to be able to fit on a computer. Is there a problem with that?
Absolutely. That has actually been one of the biggest problems that blockchain enthusiasts have faced, is the question of scalability. If you're thinking about in a traditional sense of like how many transactions that a Visa or a clearinghouse clears per second, they're in the thousands. Then you think about how many transactions PayPal clears. I mean, it's in the hundreds. And then, you know, Ethereum, you're starting to get into the 20s, and Bitcoin is only about 7 transactions per second.
Could you explain Ethereum? I'm not sure what that is.
Right. So Ethereum is another decentralized blockchain platform. But what their claim to fame is the smart contract, which is going to be one of the biggest killer apps of the blockchain. It's essentially taking a written out contract and turning it into computerized obligations. So blockchains and smart contracts will definitely change the way business is done.
Okay, so let's get back to the question then, the scalability and how big, for example, the blockchain for Bitcoin is. I have heard terms of like it's only like a few gigabytes right now.
I've heard similar things. I've heard that by 2017 of December, it reached around 149 gigabytes in size. So it's been growing since its creation, and the question of how we're going to be able to scale the blockchain, and the Bitcoin blockchain, or any blockchains for that instance, is front center stage of the problems behind blockchain.
I see. What about latency? It seems like if there's a transactions in a blockchain and you add on to it, there's going to be a certain amount of time which is required to update everybody else's blockchain. And so that's going to put a damper on how quick you can do the transactions.
The problem of latency is right there with scalability, is because as these transactions get bigger and bigger and bigger, it's going to cause people to wait longer and longer and longer. And so that's where some of the computing is probably going to have to be offset to some of the larger cloud platforms. So IBM is talking about private clouds and different things. So maybe some of the blockchain would have to be put off device and just be able to access it from your iPhone or from your computer.
That is fascinating. Could you elaborate, last question, could you elaborate a little bit more on this contractual sort of blockchain that you were talking about? Why is it going to be so big, and why should I care?
Right. The reason why you should care is that the smart contracts take a lot of the different things that we see in daily life. Business contracts, for instance, are just obligations for two parties to meet with some sort of payment to be released. What the smart contract does allow is for you to enter into a smart contract with a person that you do not know, for you to set aside some form of obligation and pair two different bank accounts. So one case use for a smart contract could be at your house have some kind of Wi-Fi. Well, you could charge people per use of your Wi-Fi by allowing people to enter into a smart contract agreement with you. They could walk into your house and turn the Wi-Fi on and all of a sudden a smart contract would pair you two and would charge a person in micropayments for every megabyte or gigabyte that they use of your data.
I see. So therefore, this would allow you to go into contracts with people you don't know and have trust in them, in a sense.
Absolutely. And it allows you to really participate in the global sharing economy in a way that we find with companies like Uber and Airbnb, where two parties come together and they share resources or allow each other to use each other's resources, whether it's a car, whether it's an empty bedroom. But today we're relying on intermediaries like Uber and Airbnb to process these payments and establish trust between us. The blockchain could do that for us.
Interesting. I said I had one more question, but I lied. I have an additional one. You know, these Facebook contracts or these Google contracts where you go in and there's all sorts of these things that you have to agree to, and it goes page after page after page, and you click on that. Will those ever go into a blockchain?
So that's a really good question, because blockchains have actually been proposed to be able to allow us to take control over our data. They could be used as a sort of data black box that captures all of our data and allows us to send out the vital information for payment to companies like Google or Facebook. So Google and Facebook owning a lot of the data we create on their platforms could actually be given back to us. And if they wanted to use that data for advertisement, they would have to pay us for that said data.
Okay. I've been hesitating about putting stuff on the web, but now that I know that I might get paid for it, maybe I'll just start putting a bunch of things on the web and start posting on Facebook a little more often. Well, hey, thank you for the talk. I think we're running out of time, and we appreciate you talking about blockchains on this episode of Mind Matters. So until next time, be of good cheer.
This has been Mind Matters with your host, Robert J. Marks. Explore more at mindmatters.today. That's mindmatters.today. Mind Matters is directed and edited by Austin Egbert. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the speakers. Mind Matters is produced and copyrighted by the Walter Bradley Center for Natural and Artificial Intelligence at Discovery Institute.